Well, congrats to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day, whether you're a father, grandfather. That's great. We're going to talk about fathers today, so if you'd turn to Proverbs 2, please. Proverbs 2, I want to read the chapter. I have so much to cover today, so hang with me. We have a lot to cover, and we're only finishing up the second half of the introduction to the chapter. So, Proverbs chapter 2. Wait for everybody to get there. And appropriately enough, it starts out with my son. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear, and the implication is if you make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. To deliver you from the strange woman, or the foreign woman, the immoral woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men, and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for this chapter in Proverbs with so many both promises and warnings. And Lord, we just pray that your spirit would help us as we continue to introduce this chapter and the concepts in it, the truths in it. Bless us by your Holy Spirit. Teach each one of us. And Lord, we pray for these fathers that are here today and the grandfathers. Speak to all of our hearts this morning and have your will in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were with us last week, you know we're introducing, kind of reintroducing the book of Proverbs. We're introducing chapter 2, and we're going to look at an 8-minute video real quick that will give you a review and a broad overview very quickly in 8 minutes of the entire book of Proverbs, and then we'll get back to where we left off last week. Okay, great. If only I could talk that fast and teach that fast and draw that fast, you know. Where did they get an artist that could do that? I don't know. Computers, I guess. So, okay. We left off last week talking about wisdom and the fact that we need to commit ourselves to the process of imparting wisdom to each generation. Who's responsible for doing that? Who's involved in doing that? That was the question we asked, and verse 1 immediately reveals that to us, who's involved and who's responsible for imparting wisdom. It is a father and a son. That's how the chapter begins here in chapter 2, a father and a son. In this case, David and Solomon. Solomon had written Proverbs, having been taught by his father David, and also by his mother Bathsheba. And I messed that up last week. I'll blame it on a lack of sleep. I'll blame it on a senior moment or whatever. But I had David and Bathsheba and Solomon all confused evidently. So I apologize for that. But it all reminds us that from the very beginning, God's plan, And we discussed this last week. God's plan for imparting, passing on godly wisdom from one generation to the next, his plan is that parents do that. Both the father and the mother. That's his plan. And we're going to see that today. And it's appropriate that it's Father's Day, I believe, because that's what we're going to talk about today. It reminds us that from the very beginning, God's plan for passing on that wisdom from one generation to the next falls upon faithful parents, godly and faithful parents. Again, both the father and the mother. And though there are some exceptions, this is God's ideal, his primary method for imparting wisdom to children of each generation. The parents are to do that. And as we said, it includes both the mother and the father doing the teaching and the instructing. It's quite evident from the book of Proverbs, as it shows that mom and dad bear that primary responsibility for educating their children, also enabling them to walk in God's path of wisdom through life. This is much of what the book of Proverbs is about. We'll see that today. But also, we're going to survey a number of scriptures. We're going to cover a lot of scriptures this morning, hopefully in a short time. But a number of scriptures that reveal all of this and show this. It's so important. But Proverbs reveals that both Solomon's mother Bathsheba and his father David, they diligently taught Solomon God's wisdom as he was growing up. God answered Solomon's prayer. We saw that he prayed for wisdom and God answered that prayer. I mentioned last time it wasn't necessarily only in an instantaneous, miraculous way. Now I think there was a supernatural element to it that God answered the prayer by God's power. He gave Solomon wisdom. There was a supernatural element to it, but there was also a human aspect or element to it, because his parents diligently and laboriously taught Solomon God's principles for wisdom, right? And that has to be. It'd be nice if we just said, Lord, give my kid wisdom, and miraculously it was imparted. That's not exactly what happened. God did work supernaturally, but also the parents were very much involved. We know that Solomon himself diligently studied and he worked hard as a student to learn. So both he and his parents put forth a great deal of effort. So you've got kind of a dual, I used this term last time, a dual responsibility, right? Maybe a triple responsibility. You've got the parents, mom and dad, and the child. So all are involved in one way or another. So again, we want to really survey some of these scriptures that are so important, and I'm trusting that God will speak to your heart as parents, as grandparents, even as children. Okay, that includes all of us, right? We all had parents. We're all responsible. We're all involved. So first of all, some examples in the book of Proverbs. Please notice this dual responsibility. I'm just going to review the couple that we covered and then we'll continue on. But we looked at Proverbs 6:20-25. Notice, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. And for the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. That strange woman, by the way, that immoral woman, is mentioned many times in Proverbs. Proverbs 4:1-4, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me, his father, and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. And I mentioned last week that we as fathers need to do that very thing, don't we? We need to command our sons. We need to teach our sons, for sure. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And I think implied in these kind of verses is the fact that the father was involved in teaching the son. The mother was involved, and either the son, the child responded properly, or they didn't. And so they would reflect upon their parents in that sense. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. That kind of respect is given to those who teach their children the things of God. It is to be given to those who teach their children the things of God. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Well, who's on the end of the rod and the reproof? The parents, right? Father and mother. But in this case, it says a child who gets his own way, they're not disciplined, brings shame to his mother. Moms, both you and dad should be involved in the disciplinary process. It's not all to be on the dad. When your dad gets home, you're going to get it. No, you're responsible as a mom too. Both mother and father, I believe, should be involved in that disciplinary process. Proverbs 31:1-2. It speaks of a mother who taught her child who would one day become a king. This was King Lemuel, mentioned in the introduction there. And it says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son? Question mark. And what, O son of my womb? Question mark again. And what, O son of my vows? That is, what does this what mean? What is this about? I think part of it is, what did she want and need to say to her son? What did she want to say and need to say to her son and teach him? Now, the ESV interprets the what question as, what are you doing? It translates it that way. However, it could also be, what should I tell you, or what will you do as king? I think she wants to know, what do I need to tell you? What do I need to teach you? Because the answer is given verses 3-9 there in Proverbs 31. She says this to him, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. This is a veiled reference to carousing and immorality. Don't get involved in that kind of lifestyle, in other words. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink, this is what will happen, they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing. Yeah, if you're dying and you're in pain, you may need strong drink. Implication, otherwise stay away from it, right? Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the mute as a king. This is what you should be doing. For the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, excuse me, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. So here she's teaching him not to give his strength away to women in illicit sexual activity and to stay away from alcohol and strong drink because it will adversely affect his judgment as a king and his abilities to rule as a king and as he deals with people. She also teaches and exhorts him to be concerned about the rights of all the afflicted, including the mute, the unfortunate, the afflicted, and the needy. And thus we have this mother's teaching. It was so effective and godly that the Holy Spirit included it as an entire chapter in the Bible, right? Proverbs, or as part of the chapter of Proverbs 31. We also see in Proverbs that sons are addressed a number of times in the book. Sons, plural. Not only son is that singular term used, but sons. In fact, there are 10 speeches, as was mentioned in the video, 10 speeches or lectures from father to son in chapters 1 through 9 of Proverbs. And that, besides the book of Proverbs, when it comes to God's plan for parents to teach their children His wisdom, we can go to another book, all the way back to the beginning, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And I think this is very significant because we want to survey, in a sense, from Genesis all the way to the end of the New Testament. Notice what Genesis 18, 17 through 19 says of Abraham. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" By the way, he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he would bless Abraham. He says, "Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And notice the main ways all the nations of the earth would be blessed. For the Lord says, "I have chosen him so that he may," notice this, "command his children and his household," by the way, not only teach them, but command them, his children and his household, after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him, namely God's blessing him and the blessing of all the nations. And as Abraham was to teach his children, he was to teach them to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. And that teaching of his children and his descendants, his household, would certainly be one of the ways in which the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so it starts way back in Genesis. God's going to choose a certain person, Abraham. He's going to choose a certain nation. He's going to bless the entire world. And the truths about God are going to come through that nation, and they ultimately get passed on down to us, right? The world was blessed in that way. Now, ultimately, the main way the world was blessed was the gift of the Messiah, which came through the nation of Israel, through Abraham in that sense. But how appropriate that we're covering this subject. We just celebrated Mother's Day in May, and today we're celebrating Father's Day. And so we're looking at Proverbs here and other portions of Scripture to see that God has a very specific plan for how to impart truth, his truth, and his wisdom to each generation, to the children of each generation. Dads and moms, think of it this way. Do you want to be a blessing? Do you want to be a blessing to others around you, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you want to be salt and light in this world and be an influence for God and for the gospel and for good? If you want to be that, you teach your children. You must be faithful. Teach your children the truth and wisdom of God and then live accordingly yourselves. That's what God was telling Abraham there in Genesis 12. But let's go on to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9, you know it very well. I'm sure we read of Moses saying, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of our fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart," that is in your mind and heart and your consciousness. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, what is that saying? It's saying, essentially, that God's word was to be seen and heard everywhere, at all times, so that his people would be conscious of his truth at all times. That was the point. It's not so much that we have to wear little things on our foreheads or tack little things on our doors. Now, he commanded Israel to do that, but the principle was the word of God, the truth of God, was to be conscious on their minds at all times, right? Teaching them at all times. That was the idea. Now, this assumes a very basic point if we're talking about parents teaching their children the truth of God. It assumes that you know and understand the Word of God and His truth yourself, right? That's pretty basic, but it assumes that because you cannot teach and impart to others what you don't know. Is that not true? As a dad, as a mom, as an aunt, as an uncle, you can't impart something to someone else and teach them that if you don't know it yourselves. And I don't mean just knowing it in terms of head knowledge, but if you don't know it by knowledge and by experience in your own heart and life, you can't teach it otherwise. By the way, don't fall into this trap. I thought of this as I was preparing this week. Some fathers think, well, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a Sunday school teacher and I don't know the whole Bible. How can I teach my kids? The Lord does not say you got to know the whole Bible first, then you teach your kids, right? Teach them what you know. If you only know John 3:16, teach them that. If you only know Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, teach them that. Teach them what you do know. Amen? Okay. Don't give up because I just don't know enough. Well, you'll never know enough, you know, in a sense. All right. Okay. Just keep that in mind. That's an important point. No extra charge for that one. This principle, the command, the principle, it's also found in Deuteronomy to teach your children. It's repeated in much the same way as it is, elsewhere. But here in Deuteronomy 4:7 and following, notice what it says. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. Rather, instead of that, do this. Make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may do what? Teach their children. Teach their children. Oh, how important this is. We also know that often in the Old Testament, God commanded Israel, David mentioned it this morning a little bit, he commanded Israel to build these altars, these memorials, these piles of rocks, you know, so that when your children ask about, well, what's this all about, you can tell them and you can remind them of God's great working and his miraculous workings in your lives. We know that from Joshua 4:6-24. And that reminds us of how, just to remind you of that, because David taught on it recently, it reminds us about how God rolled up the Jordan River 15 miles upstream, upriver, to the city of Adam so that Israel could cross to the other side. Stones piled high were to remind the children of Israel of that great event, of that great miracle. You can also read about the same principle in Exodus 12:23-28, as the Passover was instituted. And you remember what the Passover was in terms of Egypt and the death angel passing over those homes that had the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel Yahweh delivering. It was to remind Israel's children of Yahweh's delivering them from bondage in Egypt. And the point is that God gave Israel, he gave them pictures and physical object lessons by which to teach and remind their children of God's great works of salvation and redemption and the wonderful things that he did. But you know, by way of example and application, we can come up with our own altars. We can come up with our own pictures and our own symbols and our kid, and give the kids something to look at. Say, what's that all about? And you come up with whatever one you want. But you can say, that's when God did this in our life. That's when God provided in this miraculous way in our lives. There's various ways that you can do that. To teach and remind our children of God's grace and supernatural workings in our lives. And in regard to parents teaching and reminding their children about God's truth and wisdom and power, you might also look at, and I'm just going to have you look this one up on your own, Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Look that one up when you have a chance. Now you may be thinking, now Mike, you've been focused on the Old Testament. You've been in the Old Testament, quoting all these Old Testament passages, and that was all under the old economy and the dispensation of law. We are no longer under law, we're under grace. So we don't have to do this, do we? We don't have to teach our kids all these things and follow all these commands from the Old Testament, do we? Actually, we do. We do. Not to get saved. Not to get saved or to earn our way to heaven. No. God's not absolutely demanding you've got to do this in a legalistic sense. No. But we as believers in Jesus Christ do have the freedom and the power, the Holy Spirit, and the responsibility to teach our children in various ways. And in order to raise godly and wise children, a wise and a godly generation, we must teach them the wisdom of God, the truth of God. Certainly the Lord knows how desperately we need this in our wild and crazy and sinful world that we live in. Amen? Because if we don't, folks, then this generation is going straight to hell. If we don't do it, they won't be in this church 10 years from now, 15 years from now. If we don't do what the Lord says as fathers and as mothers and teach them and impart to them the wisdom of God, doing it every day, every hour of the day, whenever we have the chance, then our kids are in trouble. It's so important that we do what Scripture says. Diligently teach our children. That's God's will and teaching, and these are God's principles, not only from the Old Testament, but let's look at a few from the New Testament. Under the New Covenant, notice a very familiar passage in the New Testament. You know it well. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, listening children that are here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. By the way, that passage, especially verses 2 and 3 in Ephesians 6, is a direct quote from Paul, from the Mosaic law in Exodus 20, verse 12 and Deuteronomy 5, 16. So don't try and use dispensationalism or a dispensational argument as a way to neglect what both the Old and New Testaments say to do regarding teaching children, right? It's clear. Both Old and New Testaments, the pattern is the same. The plan of God is the same. Parents, faithful, godly, diligent moms and dads are to impart that truth to their children. 2 Timothy, another New Testament passage, 3:14 and 15. I think of Paul who wrote to young Timothy and he said, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And from whom did Timothy learn the things of God and the gospel? Well, Paul goes on to say, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the Old Testament, by the way, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Who taught Timothy the sacred scriptures in his childhood? Three key people. His grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, and a guy by the name of Paul, the apostle Paul. His spiritual father Paul. Grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, and his spiritual father Paul. I say that because 1 Timothy 1:2, there Paul calls Timothy my true child or son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy 1:1 and 2, scripture says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved what? Son. My beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul of 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That was a father-son type of relationship, for sure. And he was certainly his spiritual father and taught him. Which tells us what? Tells us what fathers are to do. Teach your sons. Paul modeled that for us. Teach your sons. Timothy had the great privilege of having the great apostle Paul as his spiritual father, teacher, and mentor. And although I can't be dogmatic about it, I would think most likely it's pretty strong in scripture. Scripture would point to the fact that Paul taught Lois and Paul taught Eunice. And they passed on that knowledge of the gospel and the word of God to their son and grandson, Timothy. Also, according to Acts 16:1, it seems that Timothy's father was an unsaved Greek or Gentile, meaning that Timothy did not have a godly father to teach him, but he did have the apostle Paul, who most likely, again, taught Lois and taught Eunice. So, having looked at all of those scriptures, I would ask you, as believing parents, dads, moms, grandparents, even aunts and uncles, if you're out there, are you diligently, intentionally, consciously teaching your children and grandchildren the truth of God? Are you doing it? The things of God, the wisdom of God, the truths of God. Are you striving and laboring by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God's word, to raise a godly seed, a godly generation that will go on to reproduce another godly generation? That's God's plan. If we don't carry out that plan, it won't happen. That's God's plan. And folks, this is hard work. The hard work of teaching children is primarily, as I've said, the responsibility of the parents, of mom and dad. And it takes much work and time and effort while depending on the power of God's Spirit. Now I mentioned, and this wasn't in my plan, the Lord I think is just leading me to say this, I mentioned Romans 12 this morning in the breaking of bread, and we know that part of that says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Amen? Squeezed into the world's mold. Do you know what the world's mold is all about? What the world tries to do? It tries to force upon us as believers a lifestyle that keeps you as fathers from faithfully teaching your children. The world comes along and says, hey, your job is the most important thing in your life, and you better give all of your time to that. 80 hours a week, if need be. Well, when do I have time to teach my kids? That's a struggle for a lot of dads. Because so many companies want every ounce of energy from you, except for when you're sleeping at night. Don't let the world force you into that mold, squeeze you into that mold. The world says sports are more important. Other activities in this world are far more important. Various pleasures. I really don't have time to teach my kids if I'm involved in all those. Resist what the world wants to do in terms of squeezing you into its mold, and teach your sons and teach your daughters, just as we read here. I have mentioned, and I'll wrap it up here. We got a late start, didn't we? But I will wrap it up real quick, because I know Father's Day, you're hungry for lunch. For Father's Day lunch, right? I mentioned last time, what about single parents? Might be widows, widowers, both sometimes are left with the kids. What about single parents who have been divorced? And they've all got kids. and they're believers and they want to teach their kids. What about them? What do we do about them? As I mentioned last time, we need to come together and bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The body of Christ needs to come around these people and help them in every way possible. Amen? In every way. Love them, help them, teach their kids if you can. That's our responsibility as members of the body, to help those who are in those situations. We are all, as Christ's disciples, responsible for carrying out the Great Commission. And in a sense, this is part of this teaching of children. It's part of the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We need to teach them. And I want to leave you, fathers and mothers, with this warning today. It's on my heart to say this to you. I want to warn you and encourage you, don't depend on the world to do this. Don't depend on television programs or movies or any of the world's media or educational systems to do this for you. It's never going to happen if you do that. Certainly not going to happen in the right way. And certainly don't be deceived into thinking that a constant diet of the world's entertainment and movies and books and music, etc., is going to result in producing a wise and godly generation, because that will never happen either. Don't fall into the trap of just kind of letting them be exposed to whatever. We always reap what we sow, right? That's a biblical principle. God is not mocked. We always reap what we sow. And we need to sow the proper seed so that God raises up a godly and wise generation. May we be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Please lead us and guide us and give these parents, so many parents here at Northwest, give them great wisdom from your word to know how to raise their children and teach them and train up a godly generation, a wise generation. Oh, Father, may it result in you being honored and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.